Good evening and welcome, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Very excited you're here with us this evening. It is officially Wednesday night. That would be March 21st, 2007, about 11 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Right on the nose, 11 p.m. So, last night we spent a significant amount of time talking about global warming and the cash cow that it will be, the cash cow that it is becoming. And certainly, if you have paid any attention to that, then you know that this was the topic du jour today. It was the big thing. They were talking about Al Gore testifying before Congress, and he got much love from the Democrats. In fact, he was called a prophet. Now, that's prophet with a P-H, not with an F, although Al Gore is profiting from his prophetness. Profiting with an F, prophetness with a P-H. As a result of that, I think you're going to see some interesting things. Now, apparently the Republicans just kind of mumbled and grumbled under their breath. They were unhappy with the whole thing because they felt that perhaps in their mind they didn't have the science to contradict Al Gore. These politicians, did not have the science to contradict a politician, Al Gore. Politicians didn't have science to contradict a politician with science. How could you not walk in there armed with that? Well, the answer is you could. It's very, very easy. And it's not like these guys do any work. They could very easily have some page when they're done molesting them or whatever. They could just say, hey, look, here's what I want you to do. Go and dig up all the people who disagree with Al Gore's documentary, An Inconvenient Truth. All the science, all the books that have been written, go out there and find them. Give me excerpts. Give me passages. Give me hardcore science proof, documentable proof, where I can go in there when I talk to Al Gore in front of all these great TV cameras and whatnot, and I can just make him look like a schmuck. Very easy to do. But did it happen? No, it did not happen. Why didn't it happen? Because they're all in on it, folks. They're all in on it. It's a big scam. It's a fix. The fix is in. We'll see where it goes from here. Apparently, on a political side note here, John Edwards is going to give a press conference with his wife tomorrow at noon Eastern time. And the thought process here is that perhaps she's going to announce that she has cancer and he might be dropping out of the race. I don't know if that's true. We'll have to wait and see. But make no mistake, doesn't change anything. The fix is in. So we'll see if he bows out. I don't think he will. I really don't. So we'll have to wait and see. Is it something tragic and traumatic, and I hope that it's not. I don't know John Edwards, not a huge fan of his politics, but I don't wish ill on anyone. Never, ever would I. In fact, it's a good opportunity to maybe contact the good senator there and pass along Colonel Joe's book, for example. But then again, of course, that would never, even if he did buy into it, and let me just say that for the record, Colonel Joe's book has been given to very high-profile people. They have utilized it for their own good and will not come out in public and endorse it because, hey, you know, don't want to go ahead and start offending the pharmaceutical industry. God forbid. Well, we're probably going to be offending some people here this evening, and I'm looking forward to that. Jim Mars will be joining us. He is the author of numerous books, including his latest, The Terror Conspiracy, Deception, 911, and The Loss of Liberty. But, of course, Jim is one of those dream guests for a talk show host because he can really talk about just about anything. The guy is just phenomenal. So I'm looking forward to chatting with him. And looking forward to chatting with you guys. Our phone number, by the way, 800-313-9443. Toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. And I see I have babbled us to the break. Stay with us, folks. Back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420 and see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420 or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio, the fastest 4 hours in talk radio, and I'm glad you're here. Welcome to all of you listening on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at the only officially sanctioned website for the network. That would be republicbroadcasting.org. Maybe you're listening on our site, franklyspeakingradio.com, which case you probably already knew that our guest tonight would be Jim Mars. His website is www.jimmars.com. That's Mars with two R's. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Frank. It's my pleasure to be with you.
No, sir. The honor is all mine entirely, and I'm greedy and I'm selfish, so I'm keeping it all for me.
Well, you can have your portion.
Thank you, sir. It is always an honor to speak with you. I have a message, by the way. Joseph Farrell said to tell you hello and give his best to you. He was just on recently, and we were talking today, and I mentioned you'd be on. He was very excited.
He's quite an interesting researcher, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All of you guys are, and it just blows my mind that we have so many incredible people out there doing so many things, and that's why it is an honor to speak with you.
Well, you know, the only thing that bothers me is there are incredible people out there doing incredible things and finding incredible information, but Frank, somehow it never seems to get to the mainstream corporate media.
Amazing, isn't it?
Oh, I know. It's enough to make me think there's a conspiracy.
Yeah, it almost seems that way. Not quite, but it almost does. No, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, Jim, because last night I was talking about the big Hillary attack ad on YouTube supposedly by some Obama supporter and probably... You know, actually done by him in some capacity. But there was all this talk about, oh, no, now, you know, the average American is going to be able to be involved in the political process.
And God forbid.
They were very scared about it. It was funny because then I started talking about it really doesn't matter that the whole thing is a conspiracy. It is fixed. There's no discernible difference whatsoever between Democrats and Republicans, which is why a third-party candidate will always be shut out. And, of course, you're the perfect guy to talk about that.
Well, there'll always be some third parties because ever since the election of 1912, where Howard Taft looked like he was a shoo-in and had already promised he would veto any banking bill, the Rockefeller and big Wall Street interests then went and got Teddy Roosevelt to run on the Bull Moose ticket. He split the ticket, and Woodrow Wilson got in and promptly signed into law the Federal Reserve System. So they need a third party just to split tickets, but they don't want a real third party.
Yes.
Where somebody could actually offer them a choice.
Well said. Very, very well said.
Pardon me if I keep coughing and hacking here. The trees are are beginning to bloom down here, and my allergies and sinuses are just going nuts.
It's a bizarre time, my friend. And in fact, that actually leads me to another point. I was kind of ranting and raving about this earlier tonight, just a few minutes ago, and also last night as well about the global warming thing and Al Gore. And I see this as being a very, very key point in the 2008 presidential election. Al Gore is already out there saying how he is carbon neutralized his mansion, and John Edwards has carbon neutralized his mansion. And is it, you know, you start getting into it and you're like, wait a minute here, all these guys have mansions.
Yeah, right.
They're representing.
How come I don't have a mansion?
Yeah, who are they representing exactly?
Well, you know, it's interesting, but you can check. As far back as 1992, I said, you know, in 2008, they're going to run Hillary Clinton for president. And everybody go, well, why do you think that? And I said, because she was the first American first lady to attend the secretive Bilderberg meetings.
Mm.
And she not only attended, she was at the front door greeting people as they came in, which is a time-honored method of introducing their protégés, the ones they have anointed. So I knew right then, and the minute they started talking about a female president, I knew that Hillary is going to be our option. And that's not really an option.
No.
And let me hasten to add here that personally I have no problem with a female president. In fact, I would welcome one. It's about time we get a woman with a little common sense and the feminine instincts in there.
But that's not Hillary.
But it's not Hillary.
That's why it's not Hillary. That's why she's so palatable, Jim, because she's the least feminine first lady probably ever be in there.
I think that's right. She's just one of the good old boys.
Literally and figuratively. Oh, that's funny. You know, and that really is so telling about that whole interconnectedness of all of this stuff. And really, when you think about it, you know, there was a lot of talk about Skull and Bones in 2004 because of Kerry and Bush, of course. But even going back a little bit, you've got Bush Sr., okay, who was VP and then president. He was Skull and Bones, I believe, or he was out of Yale in some capacity. And then you've got, Bill Clinton, who went to Yale Law, and he's in there for 8 years. And then George W. Bush, Skull and Bones, out of Yale, 8 years. And then Hillary also went to Yale Law. So there's certainly a connection there as well.
Absolutely. And we'll look at the election of 2004. Yeah. You know, we're told, well, we can't shake up the system because the system works, and we have to protect our democracy. Well, look at the election of 2004.
Mm-hmm.
You could vote for the Republican, George W. Bush, who was a Skull and Bones secret society member and an oil man, or you could vote for his cousin, okay, Democrat John Kerry, who was a Skull and Bones man and an oil man.
Yeah.
Give me a break. That's almost as bad as we used to laugh at the Russians because they'd have a presidential election and there'd only be one candidate.
Yeah, it's like the Saddam vote. Saddam yes or Saddam no?
That's right.
And they said, we got to get rid of this guy. He's not giving the people any options.
Well, I hate to say this, but I really think this is absolutely true. We're supposedly trying to bring freedom and democracy to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we actually held free and fair elections over there, I really believe the majority would vote to bring Saddam back.
Yeah, from the dead.
Yeah.
If he's dead.
If he's dead.
Yeah.
His wife, by the way, said that wasn't even him that they hung.
Oh, I know. He's on, not to be too conspiratorial here, but he's probably on an island with Ken Lay keeping a spot open for Ahmadinejad.
Yeah. They're sipping Mai Tais, you know. it's amazing. It's amazing. And, you know, I love the people of this country. I really do. And I live out in a rural Texas area, and nothing but just good old boys out here. They'd give you the shirt off their back. They don't have much, but they give you anything they have. They take care of their neighbors. They're self-reliant. Take care of their families. Go to church. And they're the very people that built this country, but they don't have a clue as to what's happening in this country today.
Amen.
It's unfortunate, but true. The war on terrorism, that's everything. You know, Bush can strip the Constitution from us and get rid of habeas corpus. He can fire all the U.S. attorneys who are the very ones who would prosecute him for those illegal and unconstitutional acts.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all done in the name of protecting us from terrorism. And yet, how are we supposed to believe that this war on terrorism is legitimate when we're supposed to believe and be fearful that an international terrorist organization is trying to slip terrorists and weapons of mass destruction in our country, and yet, this very day, our national leaders have really actually not done one thing to simply secure the borders of the country.
I know. It's
amazing. I mean, doesn't that tell you that it's just a farce?
Absolutely. And you think about that, of course, Bush is pushing for the guest worker program, okay? He's fine with the open borders. Everybody else is fine with the open borders, all the politicians, of course. Bush is looking to pimp out our port security to Dubai. What's the deal? We're supposed to be terrified. These people can get us anywhere. And then, you know, you go ahead and you basically turn a blind eye to the most important elements of securing the homeland.
Exactly.
It's bizarre.
Exactly. And I don't have anything against immigrants. We all are immigrants pretty much, except for some of the Native Americans. And if you go back far enough, you find they immigrated here, you know.
Very true.
So this is great. But if you immigrate here, I think you need to do two things. Number one, you need to learn English. Number two, you need to learn about the history of the United States so that you truly understand what freedom and a democratic republic is all about.
Yeah.
But then if you want to destroy a country, then you allow anybody and everybody come running in there with their multiculturalism until you got everybody all split up and you get everybody fight with each other. And then there's no cohesiveness, there's no union, and you can destroy a country that way.
Well, very well said, sir, and I couldn't agree with you more. Like I said, I come from an immigrant family myself. We all do, as you had mentioned. And I have no beef with it, but I agree. And I've seen this, too. You probably have as well. A lot of immigrants, I don't know if they're legal or illegal, and they probably wouldn't tell me if I asked, who are more cognizant of the freedoms they have here than Americans are. And that, to me, is a great, great tragedy. But when you push multiculturalism and diversity, and then you toss in political correctness, and you just have opportunity for divisiveness.
In fact,
yeah, the whole idea of diversity is saying, hey, look, Jim Mars, you're a white guy, I'm a black guy, but I'll be your friend because you're white, so I can have a diverse amount of friends. And then you say, wait a minute here, so, you know, the idea of accepting me because I'm different is highlighting that I'm different, so you will accept me. What the hell?
What the hell? I hate to date myself, but I can still remember the days immediately following World War II, and the whole idea was, we're all Americans,
yeah.
You know, black, white, red, yellow, Jew, Christian, Catholic, Protestant, whatever, but we're all Americans.
Well,
whatever happened to that?
I don't know, but it has certainly gone away, I guess, gradualism, which is why we're in such a just stupor these days. Folks, we have more enlightenment from our special guest, Jim Mars, when we come back in 3 minutes. Please stay with us.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
Welcome back to the Big Show, folks. Glad you're here. Frankly Speaking Radio, of course. Our special guest this evening, Jim Mars, the incomparable Jim Mars. Welcome back.
Well, hey, Frank, since I had to make a note because I don't want to forget this.
Okay.
We were talking about the immigrants just before the break, and let me tell you my two concerns about the immigration situation. One is Social Security. You know, they're talking about offering Social Security benefits to illegal aliens. Well, number one, this has nothing to do with race, creed, color, national origin. It has to do with the law.
Yes.
They are violating the law. They are essentially, you know, they're lawbreakers. And we're going to give lawbreakers Social Security at a time when, just think, over the past 10, 20 years, Social Security has always been a big issue because the federal government keeps looting the Social Security funds, and there's really nothing there. You know, they're borrowing money each year to try to pay the next year's Social Security benefits, which are only going to keep increasing because of the baby boomer generation.
Isn't that amazing?
So, wait a minute. What's with that?
Yeah, I thought there was no money. And they'll say, well, there isn't, but that's why you shouldn't mind.
That's right. That's right. And besides that, we're going to give some more to illegal immigrants. All right, wait a minute. The second thing is, and this really concerns me, is that, you know, they are now offering people in other countries, if they want to become a U.S. citizen, they can come and join the U.S. military and fight for us for a little while, and then, you know, whatever it is, 4 years enlistment, say, get out, and you can become a U.S. citizen. Well, here's what bothers me about that. I have always been concerned, being in Texas and being a gun owner, and have watched the constant efforts to take up guns in this country. Mm-hmm. And I have never, though, quite worried about the U.S. military coming and kicking in my door and trying to take my guns, because I figured my fellow Americans would not ever stand for that. But if you let foreigners come in serving the military, they don't have the background. They don't have the same cultural upbringing that we've had. Would they kick in your door and take your weapons if they were ordered to? Sure they would.
Yes.
That's a problem, folks, because I guarantee you the only reason the United States of America is not under a dictatorship at this very moment is because too many of us have guns out here.
That's right. Right on point, brother, as always.
And we're not wanting to get into the whole Second Amendment argument, but if you go back and read the Federalist Papers and actually study the Second Amendment, they weren't talking about citizens. And the Second Amendment clearly says that that the right to bear arms, and that these rights shall not be abridged. Okay? Mm-hmm. And they didn't even say you can't do away with this. You can't even abridge them.
That's right.
And if you'll really study it, it's not about hunting. It's not about sports shooting. It's not about gun collecting. It's about the population being able to defend themselves against a despotic government.
That's right.
It's that clear.
Well said, sir.
What, do you disagree with me?
No. Uh-oh. God, no. I said well said.
Oh, okay.
No, how could I? No, you're absolutely right on point. And this is certainly, I think, that is the last thing, like you said, before everything just falls to pieces. And a lot of people have asked me, Jim, they said, excuse me, they said, well, what can we do, or what, you know, at this time, when is the revolution going to be? You know, whatever that is, whether it's a revolution of thought or a physical militaristic revolution overthrowing a despotic government, which this one unfortunately qualifies for. And I always tell people, I said, you'll know when. You know, you'll know when the time to stand up and be counted is going to be. And I have no doubt in my mind, if they said, we're going to take all the guns, people would do that. I've always thought that that was the case. And then, you know,
that would be a real trigger, wouldn't it?
It sure would. The only thing that would change that, meaning people's awareness of it, would be some sort of calamity, I think, where you'd see something go down that would distract people from legitimate news stories like, oh, no, they're confiscating the guns. I think anything like, a health hazard, an outbreak of bird flu, something like that.
Or a flood.
Yeah. Well,
Katrina. They went in and forcibly took guns away from law-abiding people.
That's right. It's exactly where I was
going. And
they
didn't give them back.
Yep. You're exactly right. And then, of course, now if you're living in a shelter, they would say, oh, well, we don't allow guns in our FEMA trailer park. So it's like, it's just one thing after the other. But again, people were so concerned. They're like, people are dying all over the place. We can't start this this gun rights battle right now. We'll sort it out after the floodwaters recede. And then again, you know, then it just gets put off and puts off and gets put off. It's like Terri Schiavo when, you know, they were going to do an autopsy on her. And they said, we'll have the results in 6 months. Now, I know full well it doesn't take 6 months to do an autopsy. They could have it done in hours.
Right.
But the point is that they know that if they delay it, then everybody sort of calms down and they get distracted by other things. Then they release the information, and you're not as fired up as you were. And it's the same thing with the gun grab. But if they were to do something like that, I do think that would be the end. That would be the sign, Jim, that they are going full bore on this whole dictatorship, this awful, awful plan that they've got for the United States.
That's right. Not everybody's standing up at the moment, but I guarantee you there's a lot of people rising out of their chairs.
You got it, buddy. We hit the snooze alarm a lot, but when we're up, we're up. Hold on a second, folks. Back in three with our special guest, Jim Mars, and more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt? Maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing. But they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com. Or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Our special guest this evening, Jim Mars. Jim, thank you again so much for your time. And we have covered so much territory already, but, you know, there's a commonality between all of this. And I guess to sort of take it in a new direction, I would ask you this. I've always sort of, I guess you could call it the sloppy runner theory. And this is what I call people who, you know, they're doing the marathon, they're pacing themselves and all that. And when they see their goal line, when they see the finish line and they see the tape, then they're just running as fast as they can and they're wobbling all over the place. And it's just very undisciplined running. And you see it all the time. But I think the powers that be are kind of the same way. And I think they're getting to the point where the finish line is almost in sight. And then everything's going to go, you know, full steam ahead because they have succeeded in making us fearful. And that's where all of this comes from. It's all based on fear. There are stories now about the water restrictions. I did this story yesterday. Water restrictions in Florida. They're going to send helicopters out there who are going to be, of course, expending large amounts of carbon emissions and fuel as they fly overhead to take satellite surveillance of people watering their lawns on an off day. They are encouraging residents to rat each other out. We saw the same thing with SARS. We'll see it again with bird flu. And we certainly saw the attempts made with terrorism. Do you suspect one of your neighbors to be a terrorist? Do they have dark skin? Do they speak a foreign language? Do they have suspicious amounts of cash? You know, all of these sorts of things. It all ties into the war on terror. That is where I think we lost our identity as Americans completely, and that's when we all started looking at each other with a certain amount of suspicion.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And, of course, it's the oldest tactic in the book.
Oh, yeah.
Divide and conquer. Well, now, you bring it, and you're right. Everything, right now, the firing of these federal prosecutors, Valerie Plume, the Homeland Security excesses, FBI excesses, the excesses of the Bush administration, what it all finally boils down to is the attacks of 9/11. We were attacked. And what a lot of people don't realize is that a day or two after 9/11, President Bush declared a national emergency. We've been operating under emergency decrees ever since. That's why he argues that he's the commander-in-chief and his decisions, he doesn't have to consult Congress. He doesn't have to consult anybody. It sounds suspiciously like the old Nazi Führer principle, which was the Führer is the leader of the people, and so whatever he says, no one can question it. And yet there are questions. And so let's go back. Let's talk about my book, The Terror Conspiracy.
Amazing book,
okay?
By the way.
There's, you know, the Bush administration and I are both in agreement. There was a conspiracy to launch those attacks against America on 9/11. The question is, whose conspiracy was it? And let me run over quickly a few little things. You know, we can get bogged down in the melting point of steel and whether or not exotic weaponry was used on the World Trade Center, whether or not there were demolition of those buildings by charges. But let me point out a few things that I think anybody with just common sense, I want you to think about.
Okay.
One, I'm looking at a big high-dollar coffee table book here called Aftermath by a photographer named Joel Marowitz. And on page 201, he's got this amazing picture of a parking meter that's slanting over to about a 45-degree angle. It's bent, and it's orangish because the plastic on it has been melted. It is black and scorched, and he says, here's the caption, I often wondered as I walked along Barclay Street what it was that did this to the parking meters. There were at least eight of them, all leaning over the sidewalk at a 30-degree angle, their bodies charred and their plastic faces melted away. Now, simply ask you and your listeners, how does a collapsing building knock over parking meters and char them? Okay? Also, think about this. If you'll think about it, there's been plenty of earthquakes out in California, and for days they are very carefully picking through the rubble because in many instances they find people still alive. They were in a bathtub or under a stairwell or something like that. But, you know, I got to thinking, there were people who survived 9/11 who ran or who got under vehicles that were outside the perimeter of the building, but I don't recall not one living person being found in those twin towers. How could that happen if they simply collapsed? And here's another thing to consider. According to mainstream media sources, those 210-story buildings, when they fell down, should have created 4.5 million tons of debris, and that would have reached a height of about 10 stories.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, according to the same official sources, they only hauled away 1.5 million tons of debris. And we've all seen the pictures of Ground Zero, and the amount of rubble there didn't seem to go much over two stories.
Mm.
What happened to the other 3.5 million tons of what happened to the other 3 million tons of debris? Yeah, you just have to start thinking,
yeah.
Folks. You have to start thinking for yourself. There are photographs of fire trucks that are simply scorched on one side, police cars and civilian cars. One, there's a picture of the fireman trying to lay a line down the road, and one car is upside down. And behind it, the car behind it is totally scorched, fried on the front of it, but the back of it's still brightly painted.
Hmm.
Now, what causes that kind? You know, we're looking at some sort of a heat pressure wave there, okay? Yeah. And you don't get that from a collapsing building.
Wow.
When buildings fall down, they simply fall down.
Yeah.
But if those buildings were exploded, as so many of the New York firemen and policemen and even the news commentators that day were saying, then that could explain it. Mm. And speaking of that, there was a video on YouTube recently that somebody obviously had their VCR going, and they had compiled a bunch of news clips from that day from New York policemen, firemen, and from the news commentators, and they were all talking about multiple explosions, giant explosions in the basements of the building, and pop, 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 pop sounds as those buildings came down, and talking about bombs in the building, explosions. So now, do we get to look at this? No, because what happened was Viacom filed suit against Google and YouTube and say, oh, you're violating our copyright, and make them take this off the Internet. And the national news networks, CNN, NBC, ABC, have consistently refused to give allow researchers to see or copy their 9/11 footage.
Mm.
And BBC is even worse. BBC, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon of 9/11, broadcast a news bulletin from New York, and their news presenter, as they call them, which is better than our terms, because that's all those media heads do is present
right.
The news. And she's obviously reading from some prepared script on a teleprompter or some like thing. And she is announcing that the Solomon Brothers building, which was World Trade Center Building 7, collapsed this afternoon. The only problem is, over her shoulder, you can clearly see that Building 7 was still standing.
Mm.
It was about 25 minutes too soon. And
wow.
And when they went back to BBC and said, well, let's see the original footage, you know, maybe your time code was off or you know, maybe there's an explanation for this. You ready for this? BBC officials said they have lost all of their original footage from 9/11. Now, come on, folks. Just if you even got half a brain operating, can't
right.
you see that there's something fishy going on and it's being covered up and we're being kept from the truth of this? Now, if 9/11 was some sort of a scam, and when I say a scam, it was a deadly scam. People died. Mm-hmm. Buildings came down. Okay? But the question is, whose conspiracy was it? Who was really behind all this? We're told, and we're given the names and photographs of these 19 Muslim hijackers. The problem is, at least 7 of those identities have been proven to be phony because the real identity people have shown up in the Middle East. And they
yeah.
said, wait a minute, I'm here. I didn't have anything to do with it. Why are you putting my name out there? And this comes from credible news sources and from like the foreign minister of Saudi Arabia. He said, this guy you've named as a hijacker, he's one of our pilots. He's still alive. Why are you putting his name out there? And yet those are the same names that are still up today, the same names the FBI has given us. They haven't retracted a thing. And yet, if you'll read my book, The Terror Conspiracy, you'll find that the then FBI director, Robert Mueller, just a few days after 9/11, admitted to the news media that they'd used phony passports and fake IDs and phony visas, and they really weren't certain who they were.
Mm-hmm.
So, wait a minute. What the heck's going on? Who's truly behind it? We still have yet to find that out. We're told Osama bin Laden was behind it. And over and over and over and over we've been told that. And
mm-hmm.
yet the FBI does not list 9/11 as one of the offenses that they want bin Laden for. And when asked why not, an FBI official spokesman said, well, we have no hard evidence that Osama bin Laden was involved in 9/11. Whoa! How about that?
It's amazing.
And yet we are losing our liberties. We're being pushed from pillar to post. You got to strip off at the airport. Even little children have to take off their shoes, have their backpack searched, and they're going to grow up not knowing anything different. That's just the way things are. When you go somewhere, you got to strip off, take off your shoes, hand over everything, can't carry a bottle of water. They're going to search through all your belongings. How do we get to this? We got to this because of the fear of the terrorist attacks. And yet what I'm telling you is the terrorist attacks were not what we've been told they are.
Well said, Jim. Very well summed up. I think you're exactly right on point. And this is, like you said, there is a lot of minutia people get lost in. But the important thing, I think, and you can respond, of course, I don't think it's our job to say, well, here's what they said happened, but here's what really happened. What we need to do is say, here's what they said happened, and here are all the reasons that we know they're lying.
That's
so we
right.
need to demand the truth from them.
So when are we going to have some sort of legal proceeding, whether a grand jury investigation or impeachment, something to get us into the open, you know, to the 9/11 commission, that, you know, President Bush didn't even form that until almost 2 years after 9/11. Yet the day after Pearl Harbor, Congress convened an investigation. Less than a week after the Kennedy assassination, Johnson was forming his Warren Commission, which wasn't worth anything, but at least they were putting up an effort. We didn't even get an effort for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And then when they had their commission, they came out with their big, thick volume, and, oh, Osama did it, and here's all the hijackers, here's all the minutia. But let me ask you, how did they deal with the collapse of Building 7 at 525 on the afternoon of 9/11, which had not been hit by airplanes, had not suffered tremendous fires, and they had pulled the firemen out about 10 o'clock that morning, and at 525, this whole thing caved in the center, collapsed in on itself, causing damage, but not incredibly serious damage to the two buildings that it was nestled between.
Mm-hmm.
And it was across Versey Street from the World Trade Center complex, and buildings 5 and 6 were between it and the Twin Towers. How did the 9/11 Commission explain the collapse of Building 7? Well, they didn't. They didn't even address it. They didn't even mention Building 7 in their entire report. How's that for an investigation?
Very, very thorough. Criminals investigating criminals, Jim.
I
wasn't surprised. You know what else was interesting, just on a complete side note here? I found it to be intriguing because in the course of the 9/11 Commission exploring the rationale for Iraq, the connections between al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein, what they actually said, and these were Democrats saying this, there's actually more evidence to connect al-Qaeda to Iran than to Iraq. Oh, well, thank you, Democrats. You just paved the way. It's amazing.
Hey, I've got to share this with you because this comes from somebody who really knows it, and you don't have to take my word for it. Some years back, there was a very well-known fundraiser in Washington named George Green. And George Green is now in his later years, and he's spoken out, and he said that in the mid-70s, he was flown to Aspen, Colorado on a private jet to the Aspen Institute, which is, I'm sure you well know, Frank, one of the leading think tanks and centers for the New World Order globalists. And there he met with some people, including then head of the Federal Reserve System, Paul Volcker, and Henry Kissinger.
Mm.
And he was surprised to find that these two guys were trying to encourage him to raise funds for Jimmy Carter, for his campaign.
Mm.
And he said, but fellas, you know, you guys are both big Republicans. Why are you trying to get me to raise funds for a Democrat? And he said, Paul Volcker leaned over to him and said, son, don't worry about it. We control them both. And
Wow. That,
my friends, is the bottom line. You vote for a Republican or you vote for a Democrat, it doesn't matter. You're going to get the same thing and the same people in charge. And until we find out who the wealthy oligarchy is, the Wall Street bunch that's truly running this country, and figure out how to apply pressure to them, we'll never get anything done.
Mm. That's very, very well said, my friend, and you're absolutely right on all those points. You know, and so many elements, I think, of September 11th, the day of, should have stood out in people's minds. And I'll be honest with you, I was horrified, shocked. I was doing my morning show at the time. I ended up doing 8 hours on the air that day, just reporting, you know, passing along to people who didn't have a TV what was going on. Didn't really have a whole lot of time for in-depth investigation on day one, obviously. But I was really surprised, Jim, when I saw those buildings come straight down instead of what I expected, breaking off in half and falling over and taking out a few more blocks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can still clearly remember sitting in front of the TV and watching the South Tower collapse or explode, whatever it did. And the top portion of it, about 25 stories above where the plane strike had been, was toppling over.
Yeah.
It was heading over. It got to about a 45 degree, and I remember thinking, oh, my God, it's going to fall off into the city and cause more deaths and more damage. Mm-hmm. But no, it all just went straight down and pulverized.
It was a miracle.
I guess.
Yeah, that's what they would say.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's exactly my assessment as well, that and the fact that the fires were burning for like 3 months after the fact, and that's supposed to be jet fuel. There's some issues.
Yeah, they found molted steel 6 weeks after the event.
Hang on, Jed. I'm sorry. Real quick, folks. We'll be right back.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jobs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, tail end of our first hour already, and we've been speaking with Jim Marsh. His website is www.jimmarrs.com, and on jimmarsh.com you can order all of his books, and you can even order autograph books, which is a great opportunity to add to your phenomenal collection of information, as well as a collector's item signed by our guest, Jim Marsh. Thank you very much for your time tonight, sir.
Thank you so much.
I'm enjoying it as always. And, you know, when we left off, we were talking about all these discrepancies and whatnot about September 11th. And these things, again, people started asking hard questions right away. People really, the more investigative processes that went on, the better the questions became. And now it's just an overwhelming mountain of evidence, all of which is so very well put together in your book, The Terror Conspiracy. But at the same time, Jim, I think that the powers that be feel like they pulled this off pretty good. I imagine they pat themselves on the back pretty often for September 11th.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. If they can convince a significant portion of the United States population that a Boeing 757 with a wingspan of 125 feet and a tail height of 44 feet, which is four stories high, can make a hole in the west side of the Pentagon at ground level only 20 foot wide and only about 19 to 20 foot high, I guess they figure they can convince us of anything.
Yeah.
And by the way, that is, it's a physical impossibility. I'm an award-winning aviation aerospace writer way years back. And when a plane is flying at speed in the air, there is a pocket of air pressure under it. And even a little Cessna plane coming in at full speed cannot land because it can't get closer than about 15 or 20 feet above the ground because of this air pressure. And a big Boeing 757, it would have an air pressure pocket of maybe 50 or 60 feet.
Wow.
Okay? So it's a physical impossibility. And we were told that Flight 77 barreled in going 500 miles an hour. Why do you think planes have to slow down to land? Okay? It's a physical impossibility, but, you know, most people don't know this, so it's a matter of faith. The government says this happened, so that must be what happened.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. I remember, I thought, you know, and all of your books are just so incredible, but I remember reading Inside Job and The Terror Conspiracy, too, and I thought that you had the most incredible assessment, detail and everything about the Pentagon of anybody else that I'd ever looked at, and I still hold true to that.
Well, thank you, Frank.
Oh, it's the truth.
I have to give kudos to the military journalist, Barbara Honegger. She's the one who broke the story of the October surprise, okay, and she still works inside the government. She had very unusual and almost unique access to people within the Pentagon, and she has written an addendum to my book, The Terror Conspiracy, and she lays out in very compelling form the evidence that whatever happened at the Pentagon was bombs within the Pentagon, okay? And then something came and poked a hole and created a lot of smoke and confusion, and has allowed them to say that this plane barreled in. But you need to read it. You need to read the thing. You need to learn the facts for yourself. Now, of course, that might beg the question of then, well, why in the world would they want to set off bombs in the Pentagon and create something at the Pentagon? And I'll tell you, there's one kind of general reason and one very particular reason. The general reason is that if 9/11 had happened, but the Pentagon had been unscathed, then everybody would have said, well, been suspicious of our military. Why didn't they get the interceptors up? Why didn't they stop this? But now they say, well, the Pentagon was hit. Obviously, there's nothing there.
Wow.
When we come back from this break, I'll tell you the other particular reason.
I look forward to that. Folks, stay with us. We're back in only 90 seconds with hour number two of this special edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us.